This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. New Hampshire holds the first presidential primary of 2004 in less than 5 months. And voters in that state who might be looking for a familiar face, something approaching favorite son status, will have several New Englanders to choose from. One of them, Vermont Governor Howard Dean, is leading the rest in the polls. NPR national correspondent Linda Wertheimer spent the week getting a sense of what makes Dean appealing in one state.
One of the things you have to love about presidential campaigning in New Hampshire is the house party. A campaign looks around for a willing volunteer who'll invite the neighbors over, and the candidate turns up for a little talk, a little coffee, and a little persuasion. But the campaign of former Vermont Governor Howard Dean takes all this to a new place. This week, it was in the country outside Milford, New Hampshire, and when Howard Dean hopped out of his SUV, there were hundreds of people gathered on the lawn of Nancy and Paul Amato's beautiful barn red New England house. Dean stood in front of a huge flag. Half a harvest moon was rising over the hills. It looked a lot like West Wing.
This is an administration that has forgotten ordinary American middle-class and working-class people, and that is why we want our country back.
Dean has a health care plan based on what he did in Vermont. He told the crowd his plan will cover most of the 40 million uninsured.
When we get rid of the Bush tax cut, here's what we're going to do with the money. We're going to fund a health insurance program. The cost of the health insurance program is about $87 billion. Is that a familiar number?
The Bush tax cut has to go, Dean says, to fund important programs and to fix the deficit.
No Republican president has balanced the budget in 34 years in this country. If you want to trust your hard-earned taxpayer dollars to the federal government, you had better hire a Democrat, because the Republicans cannot handle money.
That big crowd was assembled on the Internet with friends emailing friends. Almost all white, the crowd looked like the educated suburban professionals that make up Dean's base of support. Some of them were new. Others have been to several events. Judy Gilliland writes children's books. Her friend Sid Hall, also a writer, has been to see Dean 5 times already.
I think if Americans can hear what Howard Dean has to say, they will be very deeply impressed.
I'm very impressed with his honesty, too, and I think that in the general election, that honesty is what's going to pull in the bigger public.
Experts we talked to said Dean is perfectly positioned for New Hampshire. Andy Smith is the director of the Survey Center at the University of New Hampshire and a political science professor there.
We like to see the insurgent candidate, somebody who's outside of the political mainstream a bit. So if you come to New Hampshire and say and describe all of the experience that you have in Washington or whatever state you're from, people up here are kind of saying, yeah, big deal. Let's see what you're like as a person. And they like the feisty outsider more than they like the resume candidate.
Howard Dean is beginning to get a reputation as a straight-talking Democratic version of the Republican winner of the last New Hampshire primary, Arizona Senator John McCain. But as Dean edged ahead of the other candidates in the hearts and minds of New Hampshire Democrats, stories began to appear saying he had a tendency to flip-flop on issues like taxes and trade, and his opponents quickly went on the attack. Responding to attack is a critical test for any come-from-nowhere candidate, and Dean talked about that in an interview riding between campaign events.
The trick is to sort of stiff-arm the guys coming up from behind and still keep the focus on the president, and that's the trick. And that's what I'm trying to learn how to do.
Some candidates have been wrecked here in Rocky, New Hampshire, when they had to switch from telling their own story to fighting off the opposition. Former New Jersey Senator Bill Bradley is an example of what can happen. But Dean says after so many years as governor of Vermont, he's used to watching his back. Dean's friends say he's been known to carry feisty too far.
My natural instinct is to fight. If somebody wants to pick a fight with me, my natural instinct is to do it. And that's probably not always the best instinct. Sometimes, in the position I'm in now, I really need to talk about George Bush and focus on George Bush and keep the Democratic Party focused on George Bush and not the fights that are going to go on between us because other people want to be president.
Howard Dean also needs to move beyond his educated white suburban voters and into a group a little harder for him to reach. At a picnic for retired communication workers just south of New Hampshire's border in Massachusetts, Dean's message fell a little flat.
I think the way to beat George Bush is to stand up and be proud to be Democrats and stop running away from the people who made us a strong party, like African Americans, Latinos, labor unions, and women. You all have been with us all this time. We ought to stand up for the agenda that we have had since 1948 when Harry Truman was president.
Things were livelier when Dean moved among the retirees, talking about health care and prescription drugs and other issues they care about. Dean has to attract these working-class voters, as well as the black and Hispanic voters so important to Democratic candidates. Doing well in New Hampshire is not always an indication that the rest will come. But even here, we found word is getting around. Retired communications worker Ed Hartman said his relatives in Indiana are curious about Dean.
I told him that after I got back home, I was going to look into him because I know he's been, you know, making his mark on the public here lately. And actually, my sister was just here from Chicago on a business meeting, and she was asking me about Howard Dean, too. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to bone up on the guy so I can answer all these questions.
Howard Dean has had great success fundraising on the Internet, actually creating a new tool for campaigns rather than just using the net as a glorified fax to get the word out. With a large number of small contributors that he can go back to for more money, Dean hopes to pay for more conventional media campaigns where that's appropriate, presumably to reach voters without high-tech connections to politics. The campaign is also using the net to try to organize and activate voters who've not been involved with campaigns or voting before now. That's working pretty well with young people like David McGrath, who will vote for the first time in this election. He's a student at St. Anselm's College who came out to see Howard Dean.
I do like the idea that people can come together, discuss things, and come up with their own ideas of how to help, not just work in his office for an hour on a campaign.
The big question for National Democrats is, if Dean wins here, can he take his outsider campaign outside of New Hampshire? Others have famously won here and then flopped. Political scientist Dante Scala of the Institute of Politics at St. Anselm's College says, so far, Dean has been a step ahead of the rest and has responded rapidly to attacks. He's generally run a good campaign.
This isn't a Gene McCarthy-type insurgency. This isn't a George McGovern-type insurgency. This is a very professional, well-run, well-funded insurgency, and that's unlike others that we've seen up here.
Of course, as Howard Dean himself constantly points out, there is a long way to go. I asked him if he worries about peaking too soon. Better than not peaking at all, he said. We'll just have to keep doing it. In Concord, New Hampshire, Linda Wertheimer, NPR News.